And Kate Nonobile, glad to have you with us this morning with Isaiah 55. And let me get somebody else in here. So we enjoyed having Tim and Christy with us. We talked to Kayla not too long before that. So we're getting little bits of updates. How about give us kind of a big picture of what's happening with Isaiah 55?
Well, we had our first team, big team, last week since COVID, so 2 years ago. And funny thing was it was the same team that shut us down with COVID. And so anyway, it was kind of a fun reunion. And it was interesting, the things we had forgotten in 2 years to prepare for and do, but everything went really well. Staff did a great job. It was very encouraging. Got a lot of work done that needed to get done. You know, after 2 years of not having work team horsepower, there were a lot of projects that, you know, we just didn't have the manpower to do. So it was nice to start catching up on some of that stuff.
It was a sweet team, too. It was 35 college students and a couple adults. It's a team from Illinois State University. They come regularly. Usually it's their spring break. So it's pretty impressive that 35 college kids want to come to Reynosa for spring break. There's kids down here on spring break in other parts of Mexico, but sort of a different vibe going on there. But yeah. These guys were really sweet, and it was really it was touching for our staff. It was a great week just to see these guys kind of figuring out life, struggling with, you know, what's next in their life. A lot of them have a real heart for missions and, you know, just want to stay engaged in missions, which is, of course, encouraging to all of us.
Yeah, that would be
a lot of people. It was a lot of people in our space that we were not used to, though.
Yeah.
Which was good and bad. It took some getting used to and adjusted to. So
we would sneak off upstairs as a staff sometimes and talk about all the people and all the questions. You just kind of forget. Every time you turn around, someone's asking you a question. And after 2 years of it just being the 14 or 15 or 17 of us, however many there are, it was a lot to have 40-something people in your space.
So did you put them to work, or did they neighborhood ministry too? How did what was
all of it?
Yeah, we did it all on top of Larry's house where what we used to call the helicopter pad. We tore that down and we're covering that for a chapel. So they were working on the structure of that. And, then we're working on the roof at the bodega. And then we have had water in the street for about 3 or 4 months. And finally they got, some of that fixed, but it left probably 50 yards of dirt and sand on the street.
And sewage.
And so we had a crew all week that took the backhoe and scraped up and shoveled up. And so the neighborhood looks much better. The neighbors are much happier. It smells much better.
We call it Reynosage. There's a certain smell and feel. And so they got rid of a lot of the Reynosage. And then they also worked on, even during COVID, ministry has kept on. In fact, it's actually gotten a little deeper and even wider in places. So they still participated in the outreach to the kids, to the club, the Chicas, which is like our youth group. Some of them actually went to adult Bible study on Monday. The way we do that is to not make it feel unsafe or exploitative to our neighbors or the people that we're ministering to, is just have small groups of people come. So we had a sign up where, like, those who might be interested in Bible study, those who might want to work with the small kids or the older kids, had an opportunity to come alongside the long-term mission staff and do that. A lot of these kids are studying Spanish, so we had quite a few Spanish speakers. And that's really fun. for them. They can truly engage. But even the ones who didn't speak Spanish, the kids just love having someone come to, you know, engage with them and help them do an art project. So we can fold them into hands-on ministry. We just do it in a way that is safe and not disruptive.
We have a, if y'all remember the baseball fields, the five baseball fields and the big soccer field we worked on for 4 or 5 years as a community project. The city took over two of them and put a wall, probably a 10-foot tall concrete block wall that they're going to put immigrants, have a place for the immigrants to move into off of the city square, something protective. And so that's now in our neighborhood. And so, the team went down there on the soccer field and played a soccer game with the immigrants. And that was a lot of fun.
The migrants.
And so we're processing through on our, in our staff and then at the board level of, what our ministry will be. With that coming into our neighborhood, in such a volume.
There's a big tent city for all these people who've come up and are displaced, can't get home, can't get across. And we are friends. We've been friends for about 20 years with a fella who, has a ministry to migrants, and he's not far from us. He's right on the river, Hector. And so Hector is overseeing that project, and Hector says there's probably about 3,000 or 4,000 migrants that are now in Reynosa, and probably about anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 or so will move into all out of the tent city, which is in the downtown plaza, into this space. So already we have a lot of Haitians already, like just this last week, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've had some of the Haitian kids come to outreach. And sort of our thinking and where we feel like the Spirit is maybe leading as we walk through this is those people who actually come in and become part of the neighborhood would then sort of be within our reach and our charter, as they come in, because we have a call to that neighborhood. We don't necessarily know or see ourselves like going into the facility, but as they sort of integrate and become, assimilated into the neighborhood, we feel like that's probably where we will be able to have an impact.
Yeah, well, that adds yet another dimension to what you're doing, but they're there. How do you deal with it?
Yeah, that's what we're praying. That's a great thing for y'all to know and be praying for, probably for ministries worldwide, because now, you know, all these ministries are going to be flooded. You think of all the Ukrainian refugees. So the refugee situation is really going to impact ministries worldwide. So there's probably other people that our church supports and prays for that are dealing with the same thing. And it's hard because, you know, when you're called and you set up to really focus on something, it's hard to turn away from a need. But usually there are people that God raises up or that are already there doing that. So it's great to figure out how to network and help these people find the resources that they need.
Yeah. Well, my impression is you've really not had much of a flow through your neighborhood, even though you're right on the river. Is that true in the past?
It's almost the neighborhood next to us. And then even though it's only a mile and a half to the, where the tent city is, they just don't come out of there much. You know,
they're very preyed upon. So
that's the reason for the city putting that wall around is for their protection. Not to hem them in, but just for their protection.
We already have, Hector has the place that's been there forever, that is walled in and controlled for their protection. And then the Catholic Church, those of you who've been, when you're driving into our neighborhood, I don't know if you remember, but right where the big statue is across is an area that is also, a migrant shelter that's run by the Catholic Church. It's a little more like it's like a 3-day, like it's for those who are newly deported, and it gives you kind of 3 days to get your feet on the ground or figure it out, where Hector's is more of a long-term situation for those who are waiting to be processed to see if they qualify for asylum or figure out now how am I going to do life here. So we've always had migrants in our neighborhood. In fact, Reynosa itself is a very transient city. Most people who live in Reynosa are not from Reynosa. It's just the nature of a border town.
Yeah, wow. Well, that is a whole new venture for you, obviously, and something for us to lift up in prayer as well, and to anticipate. You know, John Bricken here, he's going to be leading the summer trip, so somehow, you know, we want to stay in touch. We just put him in touch with Christy, but, mm-hmm. You know, what will that mean? What will that, how will they engage if that's going to be part of what they're going to do?
Yeah. At this point, and I don't see it changing, other than working on the ball field and interacting that way.
Through outreach.
And then through outreach, if, you know, they're coming to our programs, I don't see us starting up a direct ministry. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people doing that. And you know, our people are wide open, and yes, they would love to do something, but you have to sometimes protect them from themselves of giving so much that they get burnt out. So, our next board meeting, it will be a topic, and we'll get some real, guidance, but the staff itself has kind of moderated itself over the last month or so with this new issue.
Right, right. Well, how about back up a little bit? Some staff changes, and Mario on sabbatical for a while. How long will he be away?
Well, depends on who you ask. But
well, probably. Let me say this. I'm on his sabbatical committee, and Dono is not. So we sometimes argue about how long that will be.
My thought is the first sabbatical needs to be at least 6 months. And it takes you your first sabbatical to figure out how to do sabbatical. And so Mario says it'd be like 3 months. Or 2 months, and so it'll probably be about 4 months.
Well, also, this is, in all seriousness, Mario is a hybrid because he's a pastor of a church. So we're working with his church on that too, because, you know, he still answers to them, and yet he's on our team. And he's also, this is our first national couple. So some of the things that affect us as gringos, don't affect them. You know, he's living in his own country and speaking his first language. So that's a removal of stress. But like we reminded him, burnout is universal. So, and he's thoroughly enjoying his sabbatical, and they just got back from, one thing we do with our team during sabbatical is we send them to Colorado to what's called a soul care intensive. And they just got back from that, and they had a really good time. And so he kind of went into sabbatical just like this one here, kicking and screaming, but is now really embracing and enjoying sabbatical. So, you know, we'll see how the Spirit leads, and his coach team will kind of let us know when he's ready to come back.
What's happening with the school?
The school is doing great. The school has been through a lot over the last few years. You know, the principal that we love, Ceci, lost her twins in utero. Then her dad died of COVID. And she went through just a lot of trauma and felt like she needed to step away from some healing. And so, with a little bit of anxiety and trepidation, we put our head teacher, Maida, who is young, incredibly gifted teacher, but sort of young and a little bit immature relationally. But we felt like she would be the one to put into that spot and let's try it on for size. And actually, she has done phenomenally. She has really built a team. And because she is a deaf teacher and knows sign, understands the culture, and already had a relationship with both parents and kids, it's really set us up well. It's doing good. She's navigated the COVID. You know, we went back to school in person with all this crazy protocol, and then we when it surged in January and February and the city was overwhelmed and hospitals couldn't take it, they closed the schools down kind of week by week. But 2 weeks ago, everything opened back up and we're back in person. We actually have 17 students, which we had 19 before COVID. So we're, you know, we lost a few, but then gained more and they're coming back and it's doing very well. It's doing really well. We're actually looking at hiring another teacher because we have more kids that are wanting to come. So the school seems to be in a really good place and the teachers are thriving as a team. And that's something we've always prayed for. That hasn't always happened, but right now they're headed in a really good direction. And also I'll just mention curriculum. Our curriculum development is moving forward. With Carlos stepping out of the ministry, the person that he had trained working with him, whose dad is a Mexican Presbyterian pastor, she is overseeing that program, and we will actually have our preschool, our first year preschool curriculum done, and we will put that to use next year. And so each year we're kind of completing the next level, and it's going really well, and the teachers really, really like it, and it's the kids are benefiting. They're understanding, and she's done a good job of really integrating the gospel into just application in all their subjects. So we're really pleased with that. That's been a passion and something that's been on Nono's heart for years, and so we're seeing it come to fruition.
One of the things that Kayla described is, this might not be the right word, but it's, I would say, sort of a therapy session for deaf students. That's new. You wanted that for a while, I think, but.
That is directly related to Kayla. Kayla is a social worker by degree. And so she really sort of is dealing with the social emotional side of things and, being able to talk about values, personal application of the gospel, what it means to live well, live under grace, and really take these kids to a place that we haven't been able to before. And she's also started, I'm sure she talked to you about deaf outreach for those kids who are older and who have even aged out of our program. So we're maintaining that contact. And now we're also looking at providing even more help. Some of our families are really sort of in distress and somewhat dysfunctional. So we're finding avenues for Christian counseling beyond what Kayla and the school has to offer.
Oh, I see a question there. Go ahead.
What's your favorite color, Kayden? No, no.
My favorite color is green, Daniel.
Mine's green. Like money.
I have a
leg. Ooh, that's since we left.
How about shifting over to the neighborhood then, and then I'll let some other folks ask questions here. But you really increased the neighborhood outreach through COVID, from what I can tell, and. Has that drawn a lot of kids now, as you're kind of relaxing the COVID issues into what you're doing on a regular basis, or how does that go?
It's actually, the numbers have slowed down a little bit. It's you're almost having to retrain them about the times that there's different things going on. The Mexico in and of itself, but particularly our neighborhood, does not use a clock very well. And so it's taken a little while to start, kind of retraining them. I mean, there's plenty of kids, but
oh yeah,
it had gotten up to, you know, 70 or 80, which was overwhelming for them to deal with. And so it's kind of been nice to back up to, you know,
35 or 40
kids. So, but no, it's going strong. It's
also weather related. So the last few weeks it's been, cold and rainy, and that really affects any kind of turnout in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Lack of teams draws kids in. You know, like we tell the teams, you're our carrot. We dangle you out there so that the missionaries can do ministry and get to know people. So, but we have great favor in the neighborhood.
And no notes. Speaking of teams, now that you have teams coming back, and hopefully we're going to have a big team coming, what are some of the things that you're going to get teams to do for you? What are some of the projects?
So,
for teams.
Short term, we have some things on our facilities that we need to catch up with, some roofs to put on, just some maintenance stuff. We don't particularly like working on our own stuff. And so we're actually getting back out into the city. We have a nursing home that we have, some bathrooms to build and some maintenance on that. We have another facility that, deals with the handicap that we're probably going to be building a small building for. And so we'll be getting back out into the city and doing service projects like that. But
probably starting back ESL classes for them and things like that.
Yeah, ministry-wise, we'll stay in the neighborhood for the most part and expand that or deepen that, not expand it. We can't add anything more. But we'll deepen those ministries.
I don't know if Christy talked to you, but she does a ESL class. The facility shut down for a while, but we anticipate that will be opening back up. So there might be opportunities throughout the summer. I don't know with the Trinity team, but usually she will involve some of the team members as she, it's a center not far from us, BNSR, it's the well-being center. And so she usually holds some ESL classes there. And so the team might be able to fold into that as well as the other things that are going on.
How did you use the college students last week in the neighborhood in terms of?
In terms of physical work or in terms of ministry?
Yeah, ministry.
Ministry, they participated in some of the kids program.
They did all. They did adult Bible study, outreach, the youth, the soccer game with migrants. Not to mention, like Nono said, just the ministry of the neighborhood, just being present, the ministry of presence in the neighborhood, cleaning up dirt and, you know, just serving the guys on the street. It was pretty cool to see. When I left one day, they were on the corner and they were starting to shovel we call it the poo crew. They were starting to shovel down the road, and a few blocks where they hadn't gone yet, a man and his son came out with their wheelbarrow and their shovels, and they started joining in. So sometimes the fact that they're just there, there's a ministry of presence, that somebody cares, when you understand the stigma of our neighborhood, to see people coming in and serving, just that presence alone has a huge impact. So teams bring that with them. It's not always important what they're doing, but it's important that they're present.
Yeah. Other questions? Anybody?
What about the trade school? That's not the right term, but the school where you're training people to go back out into the workforce.
It's
tell me about your training students.
So that's kind of one of my things that I've been trying to get going, and we've done it over the years, little projects, and you know, like the gingerbread houses, y'all are probably familiar with, and just this, that, and another. This is the first time I think we have something that is turning into long term, and we are building. It's not cabinets, but it's components that spruce up or enhance cabinetry for a medical clinics that a company's building around us, and some furniture, some chairs, some just all kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. And so we have three guys that are working. We have our paid employees, but we have three of the neighborhood
young men,
16 to 20, that are working full time there. And our goal is to teach them a trade and get to know them. So a couple of those guys are coming to Bible study now, which is exactly what we intended. And then we're not looking to employ people long term, but hopefully something will come along to where we can either put them in a business related, a similar business, or they can start doing it at their house. And then, so that's been great. David Funderburk is now on our board of directors. And so we're actually looking at businesses, missions, a little more, making it its own identity, I guess.
And your daughter, Bubba, is helpful in that too.
Yeah, Carolyn's now on our board, and
she's all about businesses, missions.
Yeah, she's done fantastic. I feel like I have advocates now.
Yeah. And I saw in the newsletter you want to hire somebody to run that trade school. Is that what I understood from it?
Ideally, we would like right now Marcus is overseeing that, but he has a lot of other stuff. And so Ideally, we'll find a missionary to come on board full time as director of business and missions if you know all that has to be.
Yeah.
Approved by the board, but that seems the way the direction it's headed. So if y'all know of anybody.
Yeah. Other questions, anybody? John?
I'll ask right once. Y'all give out any Bibles in the neighborhood?
We do. We have, in the past, we usually, funnel that through Mario. He kind of handles all of that because we're real sensitive to the idea of just giving things out. Just, we don't really have a ministry of stuff because when you read When Helping Hurts, you have to really navigate and manage that well to make it make sense and keep it a partnership in that equal relationship. So, but there are times that we have that are appropriate, like through Bible study or through BBS and, Christmas and some things like that. So, the cool thing is we do have, neighborhood folks coming to Bible study, and that was born out of a medical clinic of all things where Mario and Caleb, talked to all the people who came visiting and, asked if there was interest in that. This sparked this Bible study, and it's been going on for over a year, started during COVID, and we've got a real faithful crew that keep coming. So we'll see, you know, because our goal and hope is that a church would be born out of that.
Is it helpful to learn some Spanish or deaf language before you come down there? Like if you had some kids come down there, if they had learned how to express in deaf language at all or learn Spanish words, is that
Well, you know, the thing about the sign is that we do Mexican sign, so, you know, them having access to Mexican sign, but if they know some sign, that's great. Like most schools, we have a pretty strict child protective policy, and so we can't just have kids kind of floating in and out, but we do try to provide opportunities for them to at least be exposed and see the school. It's just hard to let people enter in freely in a school space, as y'all know.
It's also disruptive. And so most of our students are young students. And so you want to keep their language pretty pure. And so if they bring in some ASL or it gets confusing. So on the deaf school side, we pretty much keep y'all away from them. to say. Now, you know, neighborhood-wise, yes, it would be great for them to learn some basic Spanish.
Oh, yeah. That goes over really, really well.
And then we also do a Spanish night to where we, teach, have a fun time teaching.
Playing games
in Spanish. So.
And sometimes in the past, and we'll see, you know, obviously during COVID, we were restricted with protocols. But in the past, we have done some things where some of our deaf students can come and integrate maybe in an activity that we have going on. So that's a safe space when they come over there. But as far as letting people kind of meander in the school, it'd be just like, you know, Trinity School wouldn't let a bunch of Mexican missionaries just kind of come and disrupt school. So, we just have to work within those child protective policies.
Well, we need to go to prayer. And we had some prayer requests from you, but wondered any sort of updated, how can we pray for you, the two of you in particular, and the ministry?
You can pray that our little baby granddaughter, Blake, will come on. We're all ready.
Ministry-wise, we need people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a need, and it's apparent even right now with lots of things to do, and Mario and Kayla gone. So, yeah. All right. Bubba, would you start us with prayer?
Okay. Just be glad to. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for the opportunity to talk to Kate and Nono and the ministry there that they lead and have been leading for so many years, and just so encouraging to hear how it expanded, the impact it's making down there. And Lord, you would continue to be with them, the staff, and encourage them. But Lord, I just thank you for the encouragement I heard through this team of people coming from the college students, and Lord, that their desire that they might want to go into missions and that they could work with those students down there. So maybe some of those would come and be on the staff and continue to work there or go other places. Lord, just give the board wisdom and say, look at these many things that they have the opportunity. Lord, it's just opportunities just seem overwhelming, but give them wisdom of which ones to pick and how to handle it, and then raise up the staff that can come and run that. So, Lord, it's just such a blessing to see what's going on there and continue to use them in a mighty way, I pray in Christ's name.
Dear God, I give thanks for Nono and Kate and their long-term commitment to the school, and pray that you give them the resources and the people to continue to develop, particularly the trade school. And I give thanks for their commitment to spread the gospel and to help people who really, really need help. I give thanks for them and pray that you'll be with them and bless them. In Christ's name we pray.
Heavenly Father, I pray for the teams coming down that you'll do a mighty work in their lives as they see the great need, and they'll be used in a mighty way, but also that there may be some workers that come out of that full time that want to stay down there.
Dear Father, thank you for all the good work that you are doing through the Beatles and through all of the staff down there in Minnesota. Thank you for seeing fit to glorify yourself down there. Lord, I pray that you would deepen the roots of the new believers in their faith and root them in a local church and raise up leaders. Father, I pray that you would protect, especially this migrant community. Thank you for the city's oversight with the concrete wall to protect them. Lord, I pray that they would be open, that you would be even preparing hearts now to hear the gospel, and that you would give Kate and Nono and their staff wisdom for how to interact with all of the different cultures and different languages. Lord, that you give them very human strategies to reach out a hand with water, but also with the gospel, Lord, and that these people would be able to stay in their neighborhood and get more involved, and that they would be able to build those relationships deeper. Lord, I pray for Kate and Nono and their family that you would protect them from any discouragement and encourage their hearts this day and uplift them with your spirit. Pray for their little granddaughter that you would protect her as she comes into this world and protect her mother as well.
For all the prayers that have been prayed for the work in the rooms, I echo. And I also want to thank and pray for the work that they have done here in Trinity by lighting a fire that makes this church. And it's that they feed back in the richness that you have fed through to them, through the teams that are coming down. We both grow, and the kingdom is enhanced. We give you thanks, and we give you praise.
Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to pray for Tate Nono, the whole Isaiah 55 team, Lord, that they don't get overwhelmed and they take the day-to-day responsibilities that they need to do in the neighborhood and school, Lord. Wrap your arms around them, give them comfort, peace. Their time is everybody's open back up, Lord, just to give them the ability to reach who they need to reach. Just pray.
Heavenly Father, I join in these prayers, and we are grateful for the work that you've accomplished today, to this date, through Kate Nono, and the way in which you've drawn them to this ministry, and the incarnational nature of this ministry that it is, and just a reminder of our Lord incarnate in the way in which he saved us. And now in his name, children and men and women are hearing the gospel, but in a way that perhaps they had before, but many cases never heard, that they're seeing it demonstrated before them. And we pray that you would continue to do a great work in the deaf school and also in this neighborhood, and that hearts would be drawn to you and lives transformed. I pray for Meyer and Kayla, and just thank you for them, and pray that you would bless their time in the sabbatical and that it would truly be a time of renewal for him. I pray for the other staff. I pray that you would fill this position, this person to head up the technical training, the trade school training, and that you would advance this work of business's mission there in terms of teaching young folks a skill, but also making it a profitable venture that would sustain them, and that they would become a lifetime career for them. Even so many things we could ask for, Lord, just the ministry itself and the staff. And I pray that you would continue to bless the staff and give good cohesion. I pray for Kate and Nono that as they oversee this work, that you would keep them strong and let them see your hand at work in them and through them in this ministry as it continues. And we do pray for this baby that's soon to be born, we pray, and that you would, she would be strong, and mama would be strong too. And Lord, Lord, just a miracle of life that we accept and yet are always amazed when we think of the birth. And again, reminded of our own birth in Christ. And as we share this time together as brothers and sisters, use this to encourage us in what we will do here today in this city. Help us to glorify you as well. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.